dropped, and it's showtime from downtown Winnipeg.
Four, see the blast. Blues back. Scores! Shankly wires it. Scores!
What a stop by Hellebuck!
Kyle Connor! Jets go bang, bang, bang!
Welcome to Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, hello, it's episode 144 of the Ground Control Podcast. And listen, I know it's been a little bit, and the fans of the Ground Control Podcast have grown impatient. I haven't been receiving any emails about it, so I do appreciate everyone's patience. But I'm willing to take the blame on this one. I'm going to shoulder this one.
Culpability is always good.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a form of leadership.
But I will say that maybe we were just fostering some great, good thoughts together. It took a little while to put together a podcast that was better than the one that we had with Mark Chipman.
100%.
Because we had to kind of let that ride for a little ways. Mm-hmm. And we don't always get, you know, the owner of the team on to talk candidly about different subjects. So
just a
let
her
ride for a couple of weeks.
I agree.
Just a second appearance. So you're right. We should. It's a good idea to let that breathe. Hey, we haven't heard Ground Control in a while. I'm going to go back to that podcast with Mark Chipman and take in what I haven't heard before.
Absolutely. That's Jamie Thomas. Paul Edmonds also in studio with me, Mitchell Clinton, today. Lots coming up on the podcast. A nice chat between Jamie and David Gustafson. We'll get to that. And also Daniel Fink, the voice of the Manitoba Moose, will join us as well. But guys, before we get going, there is one thing I do want to talk about. The reverse retro jerseys. I thought they were slick, but for a couple of different aspects. One, visually, I think they're great. But functionally, I have to think the big numbers on a white jersey must have been real nice for you broadcasting folk.
No question. I mean, here's the thing. We'll let somebody into our little environment here. We talk amongst ourselves sometimes where we are in the broadcast locations and the fact that you get into some of these way high up and over toward the goal line locations, and then the numbers just don't stand out. People don't want to hear that. They don't really care. Hey, you're in the National Hockey League and you're calling something that you wanted to do since you were 8 years old. Just enjoy it. So, yes. But when you ask the question that way, yeah, way more eye-appealing to be able to see the numbers jump out at you and not to have that hesitation to make sure that it's, you know, McDavid or Draisaitl or Ehlers or Gagne or whoever, right? I mean, Ehlers didn't play, of course, but you get the picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, way better. But I love the jersey for a couple of reasons. It's just your simple, plain white, but it also took in a little bit of that aviator blue. And that logo for me, guys, now I go back to being 8 years old, being a Winnipeg Jet fan, back to the WHA days, and there are a couple of logos that I really like. There was an old WHA jersey that has a darker blue color to it that just has J-E-T-S, Jets, down the front of it that I think it was in red lettering, Mitchell, if I'm not mistaken. That was probably one of my favorites because it was one of the first ones that I remember. So, of course, you always remember when you're a kid, everything was innocent and more grand. But the one when they changed from what would be the Heritage logo to the jet protruding out, or the nose of the jet out of the stick in the early 90s. And that correlated after the trade of Dale Hawerchuk. Phil Housley came in. Timo Solani was here. That was really my favorite Jets logo. So that was incorporated in the reverse retro. I really liked it. I liked the colors of it for a colorblind guy. I thought it was really eye-appealing for all of those reasons.
As Paul talks about, the most important part to us is being able to see the numbers. That stands out. But of all the reverse retro jerseys, and I was just looking around on social media, it seemed like the Jets were always in the top three of conversation.
Yeah.
It's a great jersey. I know, I think it's six more times we get to deal with it, but it's amazing that they can keep coming up with different ways to have these jerseys. That's the part where I'm totally impressed with, because every time they've thrown something out, you're like, okay, how's this look? But this one, when I saw it, you're definitely excited to see it. The last one, I can't even remember what they called it, with the gray. When I first saw it, I was not a big fan, but then I saw it on the ice, then you're like, it's okay. So I'm fully impressed with the people that keep creating these jerseys and coming up with the right way to do it. But this is my favorite of the, outside of the Heritage jersey. I never want to take that aside, but this is of all the jerseys outside of the Heritage jersey and the current jersey, this is my favorite.
A big shout out to Josh Dudich, the graphic design department, everybody involved in that reverse retro design, which, by the way, that jersey available in store and online November 15th. So make sure that you get your reverse retro jersey as well. All right, sliding into the play on the ice. Of course, they won 4-0 in that jersey, so another nice win in the reverse retro jerseys for the Winnipeg Jets. As we record this, the Jets are 7-3-1. They've got there was some great goaltending, number one, special teams as well, some depth scoring, and the top six, of course, doing their thing, which says nothing of the real nice start of the season that Josh Morrissey has had as well, which has also been great to see. Is this the classic winning in different ways, Paul?
Undoubtedly. But I think that you need to find ways to pull all of that together. And sometimes when it's not all together, then you need to rely on one certain area. And that might be your power play. Or it might be your top six. Or it might be your goaltender steals one for you. Or it might be your penalty kill's been really good in a tight game. Or it might be defensive scoring. Or it might be the bottom six. I mean, honestly, you need to have a lot of things go right for you, including health, to have a playoff-bound team at the end of an 82-game regular season schedule. And so far through 11 games, the Winnipeg Jets have found a way to combine all of that, or a large portion of all of those things together on a lot of nightly basis. And in saying that, though, the one thing that really jumps out for me, and part and parcel, I think, to getting there is all of the things that we've just talked about, but the overtime wins. This was a team that did not do very well in overtime or shootouts last year. They left a lot of points on the table. And when you total up the 8 points that they were in arrears of making a playoff spot last year, that comes back to it for me. And so far, so good. No shootout wins or losses, but you're 3-1 in overtime. That's a 3 extra points, and extrapolate that maybe over 82 games, and that probably gets you into a playoff spot, and everybody's much more satisfied with the way things went in a season when you get there as opposed to not getting there. And then let's not forget, you get there and anything can happen. But it's been a combination, Mitchell. I didn't want to be too broad-based here, but it's been a combination of all of those things, plus sometimes out of necessity, a little bit more of an extraction of just a smaller group of those things combining to put them over the top. But let's not leave out the fact that they are 3-1 in overtime.
Absolutely. And before you jump in, yeah, because, you know, we're all so excited to be podcast recording.
Connor, have you with us?
Yes, of course. And Connor Hellebuyck picking up his 30th career shutout. I was thinking the other day, like, it just seems so crazy. He's got 30 already. But I was looking at the stats, and that's the second most in the NHL since he came in 2015. It just a real strong start to the season for Connor Hellebuyck, but Josh Morrissey as well.
Josh Morrissey, we've always kind of, I know I don't say left wanting, but you always knew there's more to his offensive side of his game. Now the points are starting to go in. And Rick Bowness talked about how they wanted more offense from the defense. Well, it's coming. And you're on pace for over 40 goals. I know we're a long way to go after 11 to 82, but you're on pace for what he was asking for and hoping for. And I know Josh Morrissey is up. He's got one. You realize a little bit later, a few more will be going in because the chances he's getting. But the way he's playing right now, the confidence he's playing with, it's all good for the Winnipeg Jets, and it's a nice, when they reunited him and Neil Pionk, it just kind of seems like old friends coming back together. They know where one another is going. They know how to trust each other. Neil Pionk's healthy, so whenever Josh Morrissey wants to jump up, he knows Neil Pionk's going to be back there. So it's a great synergy between those two players. But Josh Morrissey's start, the fact that he's, you know, taking more of a leadership role this year too is speaking to just a complete player that he's turned into in the National Hockey League.
And the Winnipeg Jets, one of the big things that Rick Bowness talked about is being able to run four lines, and David Gustafson's got a big part in that. Mm-hmm. I really like how he and Axel Janssen-Fjällby working on, especially the last couple of games on the penalty kill as well. Two really tough guys to get through in that neutral zone, some really good sticks. You had a good chance to talk with David Gustafson without spoiling the interview. How was that conversation?
It was, because we don't, because of COVID, we haven't been able to sit by him or talk to him, you know, walking to the bus or in the dressing room. So I've had a couple of times catching up with him here and there to kind of get what I want out of him before to do a sit down with him. But the fact that he was part of Car Wash Days and nailed the 90s trivia part of things, thank you to Mosser for digging that up. That kind of added to the interview. So there's a little bit here. There's Halloween. There's his how he became a defensive player or defensive-minded player. There's a little bit of everything here with David Gustafson.
Please enjoy.
Shop where the players shop. Jets Gear and TrueNorthShop.com are your authentic team stores. Make sure to stock up on all your favorite Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose merchandise today. Visit one of the 5 Jets Gear locations or shop online at TrueNorthShop.com.
Hi, this is Josh Morrissey, and you're listening to Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets.
Gus, as we sit here today following the big win on Thursday, I want to ask you something. Right after the game against the Rangers, the season opener, you said that's the most fun you've had on the ice ever in your life. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit and why you felt that way?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's the first game of the season. It's the NHL. Like, it's different. But, yeah, I mean, I've been playing NHL games before, but, like, this is the first time I feel like I really belong there. Like, this is actually where I should be playing, and I feel like I did a great game. And, you know, just having that feeling while playing is just the best you can have. That's what you're chasing. That's what you want to play for. And then it just felt like there was something different with the team this year. Like, we were all playing for each other and having fun playing with each other.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot of conversation in the offseason about what the room was like. I know you weren't here full time last year, but the fact that they're just, when you say there's a change this year, is it easy to explain or not easy to explain what the difference is?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, especially because I wasn't here much last year. Like, I don't have too much input, but like, I just feel like we have something really good going, and I feel like even for myself, like, I want to go out there and I want to play good for the other guys. Like, I don't want to just go out and play good for my sake and for my career. I want to play good for the other guys too, like, for them to respect me and for them to have a good game too.
When you were drafted in 2018, the conversation was back when Paul Maurice was the head coach that they were grooming you to be the fourth line center to kill penalties. When you hear that and you knew that eventually this day would come, did you know at that moment, maybe back in 2019 or 2020, that the Jets did have indeed plans for and you were going to be a Winnipeg Jet one day?
Well, I mean, it was not really, to be honest. Like, it was, you see, like, a lot of people getting drafted and not making it. Like, that's just because you get drafted doesn't mean you're going to play. And even if there's a plan set for you, like, a lot of stuff can happen. Like a lot of stuff that you do can make it not happening. And so, I mean, I was not sure at all that I was going to be an NHL player even after I get drafted. But I feel like, I've been putting in the work. I've been really putting in the work. And, like, this summer I've been really going for it, because at the end you only have a couple years, so many years to crack the lineup into the NHL. If you don't make it in 5 years, you might not get the chance again. So I feel like I've been here, this is my fourth year. I got to start to really try to take that spot, and it's been going good so far.
What was that conversation like with the coaching staff? I'm not sure who told you, but when you found out that you were on the opening day lineup, the opening night lineup?
Well, I remember, I think it was in Banff, the bone skater up to me after practice and said that I was going to be on the team. And, you know, sudden after that, it's hard to hear what he says after. Like, you know,
you blacked out a little bit.
I mean, like, all the stuff you've been doing all summer and, like, all over your career, or even when you were a little kid, like, trying to play, just flashes in your memory. Like, everything that leads up to this moment just flashed by. And then he just said, like, that he liked my game and, like, the way I've been performing this far. But, like, obviously we know how easy it is to lose a job in this league. So, like, you got to keep going. And said, like, things like PK and the face-off is a huge deal for me to be able to stay in the league.
Your scouting report before you were drafted and certainly afterwards was that you were strong in your own zone, good in face-offs. What got you to go down that path of working on your defensive game first and face-offs?
Well, I think my dad has a lot to do with it. Like, he was a centerman too when he played, and I know he was a responsible player, like, taking care of the D-zone and stuff. And I just when I played as a young kid, even, like, when we were younger, I always had a thing for, like, being good in defensive zone and taking care of that and letting my wingers like fly out the zone and take some of the offensive stuff. And when you feel you get good at something, you feel like this is the thing that can take you longer than your teammates, and that's just kind of want to work on it even more, because like I'd much rather be in the NHL than being in some other league and be an offensive player. That's what I think.
You constantly hear coaches, they say when a young player comes in, don't change what you do. Is that essentially what you have done since you've come into the NHL? You're great in your own zone, you're great at faceoffs, you're defensively responsible. Is it ever hard to just stay within that and not try and do more?
Well, yeah, that's the challenge. Like, you got to stay, even though, like, we've had some games when things been going really good for us, our line, and we got to play some more offensive, and that went well again. But then the next game, you got to go back to, like, what made you successful. Like, and that's a challenge, because one time you have a good game and you start feeling good, and then next game you feel like maybe I'll make a move here on the blue line instead of getting it down, or maybe I'll try to do some different things. Like, you gotta after every game, I just try to get back to zero, like get back to my game for the next game. And then as long as the game develops, I can go up again. Like, that's how I try to think about it. But it's hard. It's really hard. Like, yeah, that's, sure, you see a lot of players like struggling with it, and everybody's going to do sometime. But like, that's a challenge for me to be able to stay here to manage that.
Fourth line is constantly changing, and as all the lines do here with the Jets, for a portion of time and for a big chunk of time, Sacramento line was on your line. Is the Swedish-Finnish relationship overblown? Is that rivalry between the two countries, the two hockey nations, overblown, or is it real?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's real. Like, yeah. When we play against each other, national team and stuff, we hate each other. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those games, Sweden against Finland, is fun to play. Like, it's been some really good battles. Like, back in the days too, thinking like the Olympic, when Sweden won the Olympic gold, it's probably the most famous one, against Finland in the finals.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a huge thing for us to win against Finland. That's because we always see ourselves as a big brother in that. Finland's been doing really good, like, nation-wise lately, so we don't really like that as Swedes. But, like, when you come over here, you kind of feel like, okay, we're from the same area, like, we're together. You kind of have that feeling instead, and then, because, like, we're both Europeans coming over to North America.
So that kind of changes it a little bit, yeah, right?
Instantly, that, like, changes the mindset.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Going to put you, I don't, not so much put you on the spot here, but clearly growing up in Sweden, you have your idols and stuff like that. And this is not out of controversy, but I'm about to ask you who, not so much the all-star team in Swedish hockey history, but who do you think in your mind is the best Swedish goaltender of all time?
Swedish goaltender? I think it's Lundqvist. Yeah. I mean, he is the best in that, and he's been carrying the Rangers he carried them for a long time, and it's just...
And that hair, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of shampoo commercials back in Sweden. He's famous for that.
I didn't know that.
No, he's... Some people know him more as a shampoo guy. Unless you're a hockey player. He's very big for his... I mean, he's a legend. Like, the way he's been playing out there. And, like, that's a guy you look up to, even though you're not a goalie. Like, you look up to him the way he, like, handled himself and how he... the professional side of him.
There's been so many great Swedish defensemen, but who is your favorite Swedish defenseman of all time?
Probably Nick Lidström. Yeah.
And then last but not least, forward. How about, like, I mean, there's so many again. Like, I'm not trying to put you too much on the spot, and it's hard to think on the spot about this, but, Forsberg has that great goal in the Olympics. He had a tremendous career. Is he your number one Swedish forward? Matt Sundin. I can go down the list of just so many greats here. So there's got to be somebody that you love to watch and respect.
Yeah. Actually, my favorite player was Henrik Zetterberg.
Okay.
He was the centerman as me. And, like, he was also really good at, like, he's a great player. Like, offensively, he scores a lot of points, big points and stuff. But, like, he was great in the D-zone too. Like, he won the... he's won some big, like, he won the Conn Smythe for I think he won the Conn Smythe Trophy when he won the Stanley Cup one year.
And what a chance for the Penguins. An outstanding job by Henrik Zetterberg coming all the way back on Sidney Crosby, who had a chance at a wide open net. Directed further by Zetterberg. What a shift for him. Zetterberg turning, dragging, backhander off the glove of Fleury. A Conn Smythe shift.
Like, he was, you know, he was outstanding in all zones. And, you know, he's, yeah, that was probably the guy I looked up to most at watching.
Your first NHL goal was in San Jose, and you went around to your fellow countryman, Erik Karlsson. How big of a thrill was it? Not so much to, you know, on top of the fact that you scored your first goal in your National Hockey League career, but that you went around an elite defenseman like Erik Karlsson. That has to be brought up every once in a while, does it not?
That gets brought up a lot. it's crazy that it was actually him. Like, I didn't know it when it happened, but then I looked back and I saw, wow, that's actually... It's actually one of the greatest D-men of all time. I mean, it's just cool. Like, everything just felt surreal in that moment. Like, everything that was going on. And then, you know, hopefully we can make some more surreal moments like that.
Over. Gattetto back in on his own net to help him with his D-partner. He will reverse. Play to the near side here for David Gustafsson. He gets out to his own line. Makes a move into where the middle of center. It becomes a one-on-one. Across the line. Let a shot go. He scores! David Gustafsson, welcome to the National Hockey League. His first in the NHL, and it's a big one right now with 1:51 remaining in the first. It's 2-1 Winnipeg. A
couple of quick ones for you, and non-hockey related. You were Jets car wash day. I found out that you did a hell of a job on 90s trivia, so I was trying to figure out, you're born in 2000, but you know so much about the 90s. Like, where does that come from? I know you knew a lot. I heard you knew a lot about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, where does this all come from, this knowledge? Magic bus? It was like,
I mean, I didn't know I was doing that good. Like, I thought there was a lot of people doing better, but apparently not. I mean, Turtles was just, like, that was my favorite thing growing up. Like, I think I was dressed as the Turtles, like, 4 Halloweens in a year, in a row. It was...
So Halloween is as big in Sweden as it is here, or is it...
No, probably not, actually. Yeah. Like, I mean, we didn't really have, like, these, like, kind of parties and going out trick-or-treating as much as over here. But, like, I mean, I love Turtles. So I was took the first chance I could to dress up when I was a kid. But then, after a while, you just stop doing it. So I would say it's bigger over here.
Yeah. Dave, thanks so much for your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Winnipeg Jets fans, did you know that online 50-50 tickets presented by PlayNow.com are available for all Winnipeg Jets games? That's right. Whether the Jets play on the road or at home, you can participate in the game day 50-50 draw. The winner will take home half of the jackpot with all proceeds in support of the True North Youth Foundation. Remember to buy your tickets on all Jets game days at winnipegjets.com/50-50.
All right, a big thanks to David Gustafsson for his time and to Jamie Thomas for sitting down with the Winnipeg Jets forward. Guys, I mentioned a little bit earlier on as we were recording this, 7-3-1 are the Winnipeg Jets, 8-3-1 are the Dallas Stars. Those two teams face off. Big Filipino Heritage Night at Canada Life Center, going to be great energy, but on the ice as well, man, it's going to be quite the tilt between these two Central Division teams. Brendan Dillon said earlier on Monday, you know, we played that game against them a little bit earlier. It's our second, third game of the year. They kind of spanked us around a little bit, is his exact quote. But what he said is, you know, this is a group that's ready to get back on the ice. They're feeling a lot more comfortable in their game. It's a battle for first between these two teams. And is that kind of what you were thinking might happen, Paul Edmonds, coming into the season? Or what do you think?
No. But I will say, no, honestly, saying that I don't know that we expected the Winnipeg Jets nor the Dallas Stars to be in this situation. But I guess not surprised, because both teams had good rosters from last year to this year and changed coaches. And you can usually get that bump from coaches that come in that are new, a new system, a fresh coat of paint everywhere, just a freshness, a genesis, that whole thing does mix well. But I do believe that it's more than that. It's roster makeup, and these two teams, well, while Dallas got in last year and pushed Calgary very far in the first round, of course they didn't deliver to where they wanted to. And the irony is that Rick Bonus was the head coach of the Dallas Stars last year, and he's here with the Winnipeg Jets and has done a real good job and his coaching staff. I caution to always relate to the fact that I might be surprised or shocked by anything that goes on. But yeah, maybe we're kind of wondering where Chicago came from. And while they were not really in the same league as the Winnipeg Jets on the weekend, their record indicated otherwise. Where's Colorado? They had a bit of a sleepy start last year. Then Christmas, they took off. We're also expecting some other things from some other teams. Certainly Minnesota has got out of the gate a little bit slow.
St. Louis.
I mean, when at the time that we do this, they've lost six in a row. So a lot of things have had to go right for the Jets and for the Dallas Stars, but the fact of the matter is they're doing the winning that they need to do. So here we are. Yeah, we're 11 games in for the Jets and 12 games in for Dallas. You're 12.5% through the schedule for the Jets. I mean, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but add another 11 or 12 games, and now you're a quarter of the way through the schedule, and we'll see what happens because you're starting to build toward that U.S. Thanksgiving mark that usually is a bit of an indicator or barometer as to whether you're going to get in or not because you've played consistently enough or you haven't to really extrapolate things over the 82-game schedule. So I'm not surprised. This is great. I think, especially in this market, you had to generate some enthusiasm, some buzz here. That's happening. This team is playing connected. They're doing a lot of great things on the ice. They're playing with energy. And as a result, when you play that way, connected with energy, the defensive system, goaltending, get some scoring, you're going to be in most games. And if you're in most games, you have a chance to win by the final end of the hockey game, whether that's the buzzer at 60 minutes or through a five-minute overtime or into a shootout. So this is great. We're talking about a first-place matchup, and we're in early November. What could be better? Because, frankly, I said at the start of this season, the Winnipeg Jets needed to have a good start to do all the things that I just mentioned, including getting the fan base engaged here again, and how could they not be leading up to Tuesday night's game?
And the fans have been great. And the fact that you look at the last two games, you go with Montreal and Chicago, both teams that are surprising with where they are in the standings. A lot of people had them going for Connor Bedard. That's where that was their destiny here. But the thing is, the Jets methodically, patiently outweighed those teams and took advantage of their opportunities and beat teams that they should beat. That bodes well for this game against Dallas. And Paul talked about the one-goal games they all the overtime games they lost last year. Those were to Dallas. There's two big ones in Texas that they fell, and that kind of, you know, those are points that they could have had that would have had them in that spot, maybe facing the Calgary Flames instead of the Dallas Stars in that situation. So the fact it's exciting. Like anytime we're talking when it's starting to get cold about first place, that helps bring excitement to the arena again, and the fans have a lot to be excited about with this team heading into this first place showdown on Tuesday night.
The last comment that I'll make or kind of point on that is you mentioned Brendan Dillon talking to the media on Monday about leading up to playing one of his old teams, the Dallas Stars, where he broke in the National Hockey League with. And I was running that question through my head. Okay, it's a first place showdown, because that was one of the first questions that came to Brendan Dillon. And I thought, well, is it a little too early? Maybe not. I mean, when is a good time to talk about first place? I mean, you're trying to challenge for first place all the way through because you're trying to win as many games as you possibly can. So what is there, like a certain date, December 1st, you can start really talking about first place and it means more first place in November, right? Or is it March 1st means more for first place than it does any other time? I mean, if you stay at this level, you're going to be challenging for first place all year unless you take such a significant run that you bury everybody else. I don't see that happening in the Central Division. So let's embrace it while we have it right now, and that's happening Tuesday night.
Another team battling for first place in the American Hockey League is the Manitoba Moose, who had a big weekend series against the Texas Stars. We're going to bring in Daniel Fink to talk about that. Pleased to have on the podcast Daniel Fink, the play-by-play voice of the Manitoba Moose. Couple of games on the weekend for the Moose, Daniel, against the Texas Stars. A kind of a tale of two games, honestly. The Manitoba Moose falling 4-1 on Friday before turning things around and earning, I think, hard-fought would be the word to use, and a 2-1 overtime win on Sunday. What did you see?
Yeah, I don't know if the Moose were overly happy with how they played on Friday night. I think the Texas Stars, on the other hand, were probably pretty pleased with how they played. A real structured, clean game, good defensively, a lot of pace, a lot of speed, and they were able to capitalize on their chances in a first period where both teams had their opportunities, but only one of them was really cashing in. So the Stars probably pretty happy with how they played on the road that first game. The Moose needed to respond, and they certainly did that on Sunday, really brought up the physicality, brought up the pace, and were really doing a nice job of getting on the attack with the body. And when you're able to do that, maybe you slow down the other team a little bit, but you certainly engage yourself into the game. And it was certainly, as you said, a hard-fought, real battle that you don't usually see this early in the season. It was more reminiscent of a late-season game or after Christmas sort of thing. So it was a real good test for the Moose and an extra bonus that they were able to bring up, extra point.
And a couple of prospects to ask about, and one of them had a really big say in that 2-1 overtime win, that one being Oskari Salminen. Signs a 2-year entry-level deal in the offseason with the Jets, comes to North America, and he's been really good so far with the Manitoba Moose. What have you seen from him as he kind of, number one, gets used to the North American game, but it really seems he's adjusted quite well.
Yeah, it was interesting because we really weren't sure what to expect, at least those of us on the outside looking in, to see what he was going to bring. It's always so tough to see, for especially for goaltenders, through some preseason stuff. You're not necessarily seeing top competition. He didn't play any NHL preseason games. He got in some action at the Young Stars tournament, but it's really tough to tell. And then he shows up for his first start and pitches a shutout. So that's a pretty good introduction to the league. But since then, he's just had the one start where he wasn't too happy with his game, didn't go especially well for him in a 4-1 loss. Other than that, he's been absolutely brilliant. And now he's a sub 2.0 goals against average, just shy of a .930 save percentage, and has really, really been impressive. So it's been a great start to his American Hockey League career. He's adjusting quickly, and he just looks so calm in between the pipes. His rebound control has been really good. And when you have somebody who can kind of keep things steady back there, it's certainly a boon.
Certainly a number of prospects that Winnipeg Jets fans would love to know about from the Manitoba Moose. You can, of course, head to moosehockey.com to check out all their stats and how they're doing. But one I did want to ask you about is Chaz Lucius. Getting his first kind of taste of that pro game coming out of the university level in the U.S., what have you seen from him in the early going? Because, you know, as a forward and a guy like him who's playing center, sometimes that adjustment to pro hockey can be difficult. Looks like he's been able to get on the score sheet a few times. Just curious what you've seen from him.
Yeah, it was nice. He was able to score in his first professional game. Hasn't found the score or the goal column, at least since then, a couple of assists along the way. But you know what? He's getting some tough matchups. I mean, he hasn't exactly been sheltered in the aspect that he's not going out there against fourth line competition, things like that. He's playing usually with a couple of top guys for this Moose club, and as early as this past weekend alongside Mikey Acemont. So when you've got guys that are of that level, you know you're going to get the other team's best. And that's exactly what Chaz Lucius has to face every time. So it's a great developmental opportunity for him. Always so tough for a young guy coming in to make the right defensive reads, to win faceoffs. And he's been able to do that on a consistent basis. So he's been learning a lot. I'm sure that offense will start to come once he feels a little more comfortable. If we want to draw some parallels, I mean, a guy like Cole Perfetti, when he first came into the league, obviously a little bit younger than Chaz Lucius was, but it took him a little while to find that consistent offense. He was able to produce on the power play a little bit, but then late in the season really got going five on five as well. So for Lucius, it's part of a process, and so far he's picking up what he needs to be successful, and it's laying a foundation.
Couple of games on the schedule for the Manitoba Moose coming into this weekend to kind of close out a homestand, and then they're not going to be back for a little while. But there are two games, Daniel, that I think fans are going to want to go to, especially with Calgary in town.
Yeah, it's been nice to be home for about 3 weeks here, only playing six games, so not too strenuous on the schedule, kind of easing into the year. But Calgary Wranglers, it's exciting. It's the first time these two teams have played against each other in the current iteration of the team. The Moose, somewhat familiar with some of the players on that Stockton team from a couple of years ago, of course, moving north of the border for this season. So going to be exciting to see those two teams go up against each other. But off the ice, you're right, plenty going on. It's the soccer game on Friday, which is a 6 p.m. puck drop, a little earlier than normal. So be sure to get there for that earlier time and to get your hands on the really, really nice Manitoba Moose soccer scarf giveaway. First 3,000 fans through the doors get their hands on that. You can see what it looks like at moosehockey.com and on the team's social channels. And then on Sunday, it's the Hockey Fights Cancer game. Again, a bit of an earlier puck drop. It's a noon puck drop against Calgary, and the first specialty jersey of the season for Hockey Fights Cancer. Great cause, as always, in support of camp quality. So really looking forward to both of those games, and should be a couple of good matchups.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man, so thank you for giving us the update on all things Manitoba Moose. And, of course, head to moosehockey.com to keep up with that squad, the primary affiliate, of course, of the Winnipeg Jets. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks a lot, Mitch.
That will do it for episode 144 of the Ground Control Podcast. Big thanks to David Gustafson, Daniel Fink, Paul Edmonds, Jamie Thomas. We had everybody involved in this episode. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
This has been Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. For more Jets news, videos, and more, head to winnipegjets.com.